Lunch with Pippa Hudson. And now,
Consumer Talk, featuring Wendy Nola.
Well, Wendy Nola is with us from our studios in Johannesburg today. And Wendy, judging by our WhatsApp line, we could spend the entire hour talking about salt and vinegar chips. We're not going to. We will share some more of those messages.
But I'm not surprised, to be honest. We can all relate to it, especially those of us of a certain generation. As you say, we grew up with very limited choice.
It
was plain. Think roast chicken,
tomato sauce,
and of course, salt and vinegar. And I have a daughter of 21, and that's her favorite flavor, so she's not going to be thrilled. And I mean, she's clearly not of our generation, but I think it's a shock because of the fact that it's such a classic, such a traditional flavor, and how very dare they. And a lot of people on social media are drawing parallels with the Rice Krispies thing, which I was very much involved with, as you know. So there are very, very strong similarities between the two. And of course, the companies always say, due to their own market research, be interesting to see if Lay's finds out down the line that, perhaps they got it wrong in terms of, although they are going on sales figures, so presumably demand has waned.
Has dropped off, years. Well, there are a couple of I don't want to call them haters, but there are a few people on the WhatsApp line saying, I completely understand. Abdurrahman say, I'm happy they're taking it off the market. It was the worst flavor ever. Tebo saying, I'm actually glad they've removed them. I found them unpalatable. There was often just too much of the vinegar and salt. I'd even rather snack on the plain ones. Leslie's pointing out they've got a Caribbean onion and balsamic vinegar flavor, which is very similar. So maybe it's
not. It's very not.
We've touched Wendy on her chip flavor, I think. Okay. Look, if you want to keep on talking about the Lay's salt and vinegar, please keep sending those voice notes through. We will accommodate a few more of them in between our two conversations today. We're going to start with an update on what happened following last week's conversation about the ticket reselling sites and the tennis. And then we're going to talk about online grocery shopping. More on that in the second half hour, and some open line calls as well in the second half hour. But Wendy, let me just start by way of recap here. For those who didn't listen last week, we were chatting with and about tennis fans who'd fallen prey to ticket resellers. And the background is this. Of course, last Friday was the big match in Africa at Cape Town Stadium, Federer versus Nadal. And at the time the Roger Federer Foundation announced that the game was coming, they said emphatically, please don't buy tickets yet. They're not on sale yet. There will be an official launch in a few months' time. Do not buy. And some eager fans either didn't listen or decided they would take their chances and jumped the gun and purchased tickets at vastly inflated prices on sites like Viagogo and Instaticket. And among them was Karen Mahoney of Gauteng, who told us last week how she and her husband had paid 8,000 rand in July to book two tickets on Instatickets. And by Wednesday last week, when we went to air with flights and accommodation booked, they still didn't have their tickets in hand, and they were worried they'd been scammed outright, especially after hearing from several fans who bought cricket tickets on that same platform who'd been turned away at the gate because the tickets were fake. Wendy, against all odds, Karen actually got to watch the tennis.
She did indeed. The last I heard from her on Friday actually was at around 5. She said, can you believe it? They've been delivered to our accommodation in Greenpoint. The plan was that they would set up some stands and whatever. That never happened. And then the Instaticket just went AWOL. They ignored my media query, et cetera, et cetera. So they finally had the tickets and they were going off at 5. And when I didn't hear again, I thought, no news is definitely good news.
Yeah.
And I caught up with her on Monday, I think. And she said, yes, they got there. She went, then the trepidation was, will they be turned away? She got in no problem with her ticket. Her husband, was told that he'd have to go and get it stamped or somehow validated by CompuTicket before they would allow him in. He did that and he was allowed in. The big question, of course, I said to her, what was the price on the tickets? And she said, 1,500 rand. She said she didn't know there were 1,500 rand tickets officially on sale, but that was the top price, I think.
Yeah.
And it got them to the first row of the seats, right in front, that empty area because it was sort of below the court. And they were in the first seat. She said it was not ideal. They were to the side and they actually, were in line of sight with the players' shoes.
Oh, no.
So they sort of looked at the shoes and then up to get the action. So she said, but after all they went through, they were just thrilled because they'd begun to fear the worst. They were just thrilled to actually get inside the stadium
and be part of the atmosphere.
And be part of it. And she said, it was all, lovely. So happy they did it. But given the rip-off costs, remember they paid 8,000 rand instead of 3,000 for tickets worth 3,000 rand.
Yeah.
And the stress, mainly the stress around would they, wouldn't they, should they take their flat? It had all been paid for, so they came anyway. They just, you know, any reselling site is just off their list now and forever.
And let's hope others learn. After what they went through. Yeah, let's hope others learn that same lesson. Because, of course, I'm delighted that they got there because she was so excited for that game. I'm so glad they got to see it, even if it was, at fancy footwork level.
Yes.
But the bigger question, of course, Wendy, is how do these sites continue to get away with this? How do they get their hands on these block bookings of tickets like this?
So that was Karen's, number one question to me. So I reached out to CompuTicket, the official ticket sellers, appointed by the Roger Federer Foundation. And they sent this, ShopRite owns CompuTicket. So ShopRite sent me this short response a while ago. Any individual was able to purchase up to 8 tickets with a single transaction for the match. Larger ticket requests, as per the organizer's provision, were set aside for sponsors, etc., the usual thing. In addition, corporates were able to request bulk orders via the event organizers, who follow a strict vetting process beforehand and then only give instructions through the ticketing provider. But inevitably, I suppose, it has been noted, says CompuTicket, that tickets made available to organizations or federations that provided tickets to their members or staff to attend the match have made way to an online website for reselling, and individual scammers buy tickets with the intention of reselling them online to make money out of unsuspecting supporters. And then they add, unfortunately, the ticketing provider has no way of controlling what people who receive their tickets do with them after taking ownership. CompuTicket has no affiliations with any other ticketing providers, including Instaticket. And for security reasons, ticket scalping, which is the word for unauthorized reselling of tickets, is prohibited. Please read more on our terms and conditions on their website. And they basically said any queries that anyone who bought these tickets from such resellers have must approach them directly for ticket refunds.
Yeah, which is fair enough. CompuTicket can't be held accountable for what somebody else did with them.
There were very strong warnings, and I think, from the moment that the match was announced, if you went onto Google and Googled tickets, these sites had tickets for sale.
Yeah.
That was the timing issue was the worry there, because apparently they weren't available. But so they were offering what was not available at the time.
On the understanding that they were going to manage to get their hands on those tickets. And I wonder if anyone listening got caught on the bad end of that risk and wants to tell us about it. Please, we'd welcome any calls to 021-446-0567 or WhatsApps to 072-567-1567. I'm also hoping to hear from the online grocery shoppers via those channels, because in a couple of minutes, Wendy and I are going to be chatting about who's offering what in South Africa when it comes to buying your weekly shopping online, who's getting it right, where the hiccups are happening, what the latest entrant to the market is doing differently to everybody else, etc. Before we get to that, though, more on the chips. Okay, WhatsApp's in from Julie, who says, I am not happy that Lay's has discontinued salt and vinegar chips. I don't know how they made that decision, because they are the best salt and vinegar chips out there. I'm not interested in any other flavor. And this is the comment I made earlier, Wendy. Lay's are saying, don't worry, try this flavor. I don't think people are going to change flavor. I think they're going to change brand.
I think that's quite a misguided thing and quite insulting, really, because flavoring is very individual and very specific. So again, that try the Caribbean, whatever. Yes, no, not even close. It's not a substitute. I mean, people are not going to die. There's not a life and death issue, and we'll move on. But for those that have consumed the product for years and for whom it, you know, has a place in their diet and in their life, it is a big blow. I get it. I mean, I'm not one of them. I do like the flavor second to plain. But I think those who don't go for the very exotic, highly flavored options that are more commonplace these days, a plain chip without any, what's the word, corrugations on it.
Yes.
With a classic flavoring is very hard to substitute.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you. And so do several others. Michelle likes the texture. That's what she's saying. She goes for Simba salt and vinegar chips above Lay's because of the crinkle cut texture. So she's not concerned. Others are saying
crinkle
it's
cut.
That's not even real vinegar. So, but yeah, I don't care. If you're a salt and vinegar fan, it's the flavor you like. And telling you to find another flavor is just not going to cut the vinegar or the onion in this case.
No, but okay. I fear it's going to be one of those, you know, move on, it's a reality, deal with it kind of situation.
Yeah, well,
it's just interesting to see how
it pans out.
This response, this very strong response, does tell you that people are very attached to what they know and love.
Yeah, I mean, Tony's just SMS'd saying it's like my favorite chocolate that just disappeared, the Tempo chocolate, which cannot be found anymore. But I wonder if I bet Tony that you didn't stop eating chocolate because Tempo disappeared. You must have probably found a different brand that maybe wasn't as good, and trust me, I miss it too, but you probably didn't stop eating chocolate because Tempo disappeared. My question is, did you go to a different manufacturer in search of something closer to the Tempo, or did you just find a different brand? Maybe you want to send us a follow-up SMS. Right, Wendy, just before we go to the break, Mark's on the line from Penhill Estate wanting to talk about the ticket resellers. Mark, good afternoon.
Hi, Pippa and Wendy. I just want to ask, you know, when you buy a plane ticket online and you got to pay with your credit card, you have to produce the card when you go and get your ticket or your boarding. So why can't they assign a ticket to an ID number, and that person, otherwise, make it a tedious process to transfer that? It should be able to be transferred because circumstances change and you shouldn't have to lose your money. But make it difficult for these guys so that they can't just buy bulk tickets and resell them.
What do you think?
I suppose that would have logistic complications when you think how many of them go to sponsors and corporates and all that kind of thing. So it would get a bulk thing, and now you've got to give them out to your clients and then have IDs matched and all the rest. I mean, maybe it's easily overcome with technology. It is a point on your point, Mark, about the airlines doing it. They don't do that anymore. Have you noticed? Unless I'm just not catching the airlines anymore, that still do it. But it's been a very long time since I was asked to produce my credit card when
I haven't even, now that I think about it, for quite some time.
Doesn't happen anymore. But yes, you'd think that they would come up with some technological solution for this very real problem that affects so many people in horrible ways when they've invested a lot of money in their tickets.
Okay, so that's we're going to leave the ticket conversation there for now and move on to online grocery shopping, because I think we've covered most of the ground that the WhatsApp and SMS comments are asking quite similar things at this point. If anybody has an additional experience, had a different outcome from the story of Karen's tickets that we've just described and want to give us that feedback, please do continue to send through your voice notes, etc. 0725671567. Right, we're going to move on to talking about online grocery shopping, and I think let's just introduce the segment before we go to news, Wendy, and then when we come back, we'll get into the meat of who's doing what. Just remind us why we wanted to talk about this today.
Okay, so, well, partly because Checkers has launched its pilot. It's put its toes in the waters of online grocery shopping. So I thought it would be a good time to look at what's going on there. I was already a consumer journalist when Woolies and Pick and Pay introduced their online offering many, many years ago and trialed it and whatever. And I have to say that in the intervening years, I'm just one of those people that finds it quicker and easier to actually just go to the shop rather than click, 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 tap, tap, and you know, and then have the worry of, am I going to be home when it comes? Are they going to be late? Are there going to be substitutions and all the rest? But things have advanced somewhat since I was last doing online grocery shopping. I do lots of other forms of online shopping, but just not groceries. I think there are two camps of people there. But yeah, it's been more than 20 years ago since it was introduced to this market. And then, of course, it was all desktop and laptop. And now it's very much gone into the mobile
space,
app on your phone. And I think that is causing some logistical problems for some.
So we're going to talk about some of those logistical challenges. Just by way of background, though, Wendy, I was actually a test shopper for Pick and Pay. When they piloted it, it must be more than 20 years ago, I was still living in a digs in Joburg. And we had a situation where we were three of us in the digs. We were all working really long hours. Nobody had the time to do the grocery shopping. On the odd occasion that I attempted to send my two male housemates to do the shopping, it was disastrous because either they couldn't read my handwriting on the list, or they had apparently never discovered things called fresh fruit and vegetable, for example. So I gave up and we started doing it online when we were invited to be part of this trial. And this was in the days of dial-up. So think about what that entailed.
Oh, yes,
we had to make our list and then sit there and dial up and tick, 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 and it took forever. But we were there for the early teething problems. And because we were part of this test phase, we didn't pay any delivery fees. So it worked out for us financially. We've come a very, very long way since then, though. And, I've been playing around with going back to online grocery shopping of late because of time constraints. So I've got some personal feedback. Wendy and I have been doing some deliberate guinea pig shopping over the last week, and we'll share that feedback with you as well.
Cape Talk.
Consumer Talk.
WhatsApp 072-567-1567.
Hi, Pippa. It's Nana in Hart Bay. I am absolutely devastated. Salt and vinegar is the only flavor that I eat in chips. I don't eat, maybe the plain, but all those other dreadful flavors, no, I don't like those. Salt and vinegar is the only one that I've gone for, and I'm in my 60s and I'm still eating. Okay, thank you.
Pippa, I love the Simba salt and vinegar. The stronger, the better. The Lay's one, not so much. It's no problem for me that they're taking that off the market. Simba salt and vinegar. Smacks of that salt and vinegar. It's lovely. Bye bye.
Now you've got my mouth watering in the background. People are very passionate about this topic, Wendy.
Okay. I can tell.
One of the things they're going to be shopping for in their online basket, the salt and vinegar chips. So let's get back to the topic of the online shopping. Wendy, as you mentioned, some of the retailers have been at this for 20 years already. I think it was back in 2018, someone sort of did a price check study.
Yes, I found this when I was doing some research. The industry publication Supermarket and Retailer price checked a basket of goods in terms of how much it would cost to buy that basket in store and the exact same one as far as possible online at Pick and Pay and Woolworths.
And what did they find?
So the downside, they found that it was more expensive to do online because of the delivery fee. Remember, you mentioned that you were trialing it and you didn't pay it. The same is applying now to all of us who are in areas where we can trial the Checkers app. There's no delivery fee, so that makes it a very attractive proposition. But yes, that delivery fee does negate any savings that you could get by not impulse buying and all the rest, I suppose, depending on how big an impulse buyer you are. But and also there was the other irritation.
The other downside, I know a lot of people complain about, is what you referenced before the break, that you can't get a specific time slot to say we're bringing it at 4 o'clock. Make sure you're at home at 4 o'clock. You can only book a sort of a window.
Yes, so that has been overcome to a point with the option of collecting in store. And I've just heard from Pick and Pay spokespeople who say that they've got a cool new feature for Pick and Pay's online shop, and that is scheduled delivery. So you can set up a weekly or even a monthly shopping list that is automatically delivered. No extra fee for this, and customers can easily pause it at any time if they go away on holiday, for example. Especially great for those regularly buying bulky or heavy purchases like dog food, toilet paper, nappies, etc. And all that information is online. So that's something new, and that is quite a big boon, I think, for people who want to buy certain things every month or every week, and have them scheduled. So that saves you going on and repeating it. And the only time you have to go on is if you're going away or somebody's ill and you don't need whatever.
You can put it on pause.
And I think that's a very nice innovation. So it's one of the innovations that we're starting to see happening. Of course, the big innovation is now they have to change everything to be mobile friendly.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they're going to be dead in the water with a huge swing from desktop, laptop to mobile.
So more on that in just a second. Just one or two other sort of irritants and push factors that stop some people from using them. Margin of error is one of them. When you go into the store, if there is no Mrs. Ball's chutney, you have the option of reaching for an alternative or of saying, I'm going to change the dish I'm making and make something else, which now requires different products. Out of stock items, if you're in the store pushing the trolley yourself, you've got the ability to adapt on site. Yes. Now, the online services do offer the option of substitutions and can we call you if an item is out of stock or give you something else instead. But it's, yeah, that's one of the things that puts me off a little bit. And the other thing is just simply, I would never order fresh produce with somebody else choosing it, Wendy. I want to know
the
shape of the green pepper and how green the banana is and that it hasn't got bruises on it and that sort
yes.
of thing.
Yes, and for me it's lemon. I have freshly squeezed lemon juice every morning. And,
okay.
You know, if it's too green or too hard and you can see it's like a stone. It's going to give you 3 drops of lemon juice. I want to feel.
Yes.
You know, we all have our thing. So it's that. But I think, you know, I asked all of them recently. Well, let's leave Checkers out of it because they're so new. But I asked both Pick and Pay and Woolworths whether it's online grocery shopping is stagnant, growing, diminishing, and it's definitely growing.
Okay.
So yeah, more and more people are finding it an option that works for them for whatever reason. Yeah.
So I'd love
despite all the downsides.
Yeah, I'd love to hear from our listeners who do regularly shop for their groceries online what they feel the biggest pluses and minuses are and who's getting it right and wrong. Because as you've referenced, Wendy, there is a new player in the market and they've come out with an offering that beats everybody else to the punch in terms of turnaround time, and that's Checkers.
Yes, it's called 60-60, the idea being that you place your order in just 60 seconds, of course a lot longer if you're registering for the first time, and Pippa has a story around that, and then it's delivered in 60 minutes, so an hour, and you can only order from your smartphone. The new kid on the online grocery shopping block has jumped straight in, and only on cell phone can you order your thing in 60, your basket in 60 seconds, supposedly. It has 5,000 products, including alcohol from the liquor shop. You can pay by credit card or chip-enabled debit card, and you can track your order throughout its delivery phase with real-time GPS tracking. As I said, it's still in its test phase, so there are only a few areas of Gauteng and the Western Cape, such as in Cape Town, the CBD, Sea Point, Rondebosch, Durbanville, Bellville, Brackenfell, those areas it's available in. So I asked ShopRite, the ShopRite group, for feedback on how it's going, how it's been going since November. The good news and the bad and the unexpected snags that they're discovering along the way. The response I got was Checkers is pleased with the consumer response to its mobile app. There's been steady growth in both new sign-ups as well as repeat and expanded orders from existing customers. I suppose by that they mean somebody might have trialed it with 3 things and then only trusted a larger order. We are receiving lots of constructive feedback and suggestions from customers, and by far the majority of our service rating requests responded to by customers upon delivery of their order. Reflect a rating of 4 out of 5 for service experience. The learning has been steep, and as we build up enough data to predict trends such as peak ordering times, most popular products, and days of the week to order, they are about on-time deliveries and basket fulfillments. Those are the two hot points for this service. While there are a number of areas to be improved, we remain absolutely committed to our ambition for customers to order groceries and drinks from their phone within 60 seconds and have it delivered in as little as 60 minutes. They do it by motorbike, so they typically reach a customer's kitchen much sooner than he or she would have been able to move from our store to their home, and especially during load shedding, they've got a point, and during traffic snarl-ups at certain times of the day. So,
okay, so
that's how it's going so far.
So far, so good for them. I know they're planning to roll it out more widely following the test phase. Have they given any indication of what the delivery fee is going to be once it is up and running, Wendy?
Okay, apparently they're going to be undercutting the others. They say between 30 and 40 rand, I suppose, depending on time or distance, I'm not sure. But for now, they're just in their pilot phase and they are not setting themselves any date for rollout.
Okay. Now, as promised, Wendy and I have been your guinea pigs this week and we put the app to the test ourselves. Wendy, your experience went a lot more smoothly than mine, so let's start with you.
Okay. So I live in the City Bowl. I live in Gardens, and I tried it out last week with a tiny order. I actually live at walking distance from a Checkers, so I didn't really need much. But I downloaded the app very easily. I found it user-friendly. I ordered 6 items, and there was a ring at my buzzer, at my door, at my, the flats, in just half an hour. So that was impressive. Mainly because, probably because there were only 3 items in the sturdy brown packet. I regretted, you can select whether you want, your items to be substituted or not if they don't have in stock. And I said no. So I only got 3 items. What they didn't have were a bag of spinach, a box of tissues, and some free range eggs. Then I repeated the exercise earlier this week. I ordered 8 items, this time allowing substitutions. It was the other way around. It took them 1 hour and 40 minutes, which is not meeting their delivery commitment. I still think 1 hour and 40 minutes is pretty good, though, but it isn't within their promise. Everything was there in the brown bag, apart from an invoice, but we'll get there. Mm-hmm. And there were no substitutions, which I thought was pretty impressive. Unfortunately, your experience was less smooth.
It was a lot more frustrating, I'm afraid. Yeah. Look, it's partly my fault. The boomer in the room tried out accessing via the website before going to the app, and that's where things went pear-shaped because their website is just not set up for interaction about this app at all. Clearly, as you said, it's intended for app use and only app use. If you go onto the Checkers website, I challenge you to find anything about 6060 that says go here, click here, download here, etc. Yeah,
I do think all companies' channels should talk to each other.
Exactly.
So even though you knew it, you were going to have to order on your phone. You know, it's more convenient sometimes if you are on a desktop or laptop to access information that way than with your thumbs. So there should be some link through or some information where it clearly says you can't order here, but here's the information.
Yeah.
That would improve it.
Yeah. I was also mistakenly thinking, because I recently signed up to their customer loyalty program, Extra Savings, and I was assuming I needed to link my app to my Extra Savings account. They haven't got anywhere near being ready to do that yet. So it was partly my own fault of perhaps having expectations in the wrong place, because the other thing that went wrong is that I then tried to phone customer services for help, and I had a terrible experience being redirected in an endless loop through their phone system. But on my third call, Wendy, somebody uttered the phrase, just download the app. So that is what I did. I put the phone down, I went and downloaded the app, and from there things went better. I ordered a basket of 19 items. My doorbell rang 45 minutes later, which I thought was very, very good. One or two of the boxes had been bashed around a little bit in transit, but nothing was actually broken, so you can live with it. 16 of the 19 items arrived. There were 3 things out of stock. I think it was apricot jam and a cleaning product or two. But otherwise, everything was exactly what I'd ordered, until I then hit the issue, like you did, Wendy, there's no slip anywhere. So I went back to the app and thought, I want to check, because especially because not everything's come, I want to know what amount is going off my credit card.
Yes.
And there in the app was a button saying, press here if you want an invoice emailed to you. So I pressed that confidently, but nothing came. And then I went back about an hour later and pressed it again, and still nothing came. And over the course of the next day or two, I pressed it multiple times and it never came. So then I went back to the dreadful customer services. Anyway, long story short, finally got an email for somebody at 6060, emailed them saying, please send me the invoice. I'm still waiting. Got a reply saying, go to the app and press the button that says email your invoice. Okay. By which time I was getting very irritated. But long story short, Wendy, the invoice finally arrived last night after a second email to customer services.
Okay.
So the shopping itself was pretty good. The overall experience was pretty meh, as my teenagers would say, because the communication was so poor. But I think it's a work in progress.
Absolutely. They are trialing. And I think with any service, they need to make sure that customers can talk back to them when they want information or that's not going right or whatever. That is absolutely essential, that you have that real life access.
Yeah.
Or access rather to a real human, or at least a human manning an email address if people need help.
Cape Talk.
Consumer Talk.
Call now 021-446-0567.
Before the break, we were talking Checkers 6060, and Jonathan in Brackenfell, I believe you've also given it a try. How was the experience for you? Good afternoon.
Yeah, but I would actually recommend it. I've used them 4 times, and what's amazing is that when you order stuff like pre-cut fresh fruit, they always bring you the best dates, And if there's something that is not available, they phone me back immediately to ask me if I want an alternative. And I have had no problems with them. If you find, if you look at Pick and Pay, you've actually got to book a time slot between 9 in the morning till 1, and then from 1 till 5, and then 5 onwards. Not with Checkers. Anytime 60 minutes or quicker.
Okay, Jonathan, very happy fast customer feedback. Thanks for that. And I should, in fairness, say I've had an email from them, Wendy, saying that they're looking into the glitch around my receipt and why it didn't come by email. So they've asked the development team to look into that. They're not the only ones who've experienced some IT-related hiccups, though, shall we say. You've been in touch with a customer who has been using Pick and Pay's online shopping service and has had quite a frustrating time.
Jessie Fraser, and she's a full-time working mom of two in the corporate world who's made use of Pick and Pay's online shopping service for 3 years, the past 3 years. She's often been unhappy with it, especially when basic items such as milk and potatoes are not delivered. And then about 3 weeks ago, after a particularly frustrating session, she bashed out an email to Pick and Pay higher ups, including customer director Jonathan Ackerman. We have her on the line. I think she can tell us herself. We're running out of time, but tell us what her issue with the app is and what she's been trying to get them to fix.
Just to say, Stacey is a customer experience specialist, so this is something she's yes, very passionate about. Stacey, great to have you on the show, and thanks for holding for so long.
Briefly,
tell us what the experience was like. What was so irritating to you?
Oh, there's so much. It's like, where to even start? But basically, around 3 weeks ago, I've been having issues with Pick and Pay Online. The functionality of the app, the way it actually just doesn't work, the low stock or no stock, and then the delivery times in general, and then when they do eventually actually do deliver, they don't deliver the items that you had ordered. So I then I've gone through the app and I've taken screenshots of every single piece of functionality that doesn't work. And I've now put together a document they get every Monday morning with what I've attempted to do, what the actual outcome was. I've also indicated the loss of revenue because for every item
to Pick and Pay.
For Pick and Pay. Every item that is not in stock, that is something, they're not getting my money. So therefore, I can indicate how many items I wasn't successful in even adding to my trolley. So that's one revenue leakage right there. Then when they do deliver, I will have so many items that are not delivered. And like we said, it was the basics, like bananas, which go in school lunch boxes. It's grapes, it's milk, it's bread. It's not like I'm asking for anything exotic. So all of those items, I then have to go after work on my way home and go into, and just on principle, I won't therefore go into Pick and Pay. I'll go into Checkers and I'll buy those items. I then invariably buy a few more other things. So there's additional revenue leakage there. And on average, they're probably losing from me around 400 to 700 rand a week. Wow. And if you just look at what my, they can see quite quickly. I'm one person who's downloaded the iOS Pick and Pay app, and they can see my average spend. If they then take 1% of the whole population that is downloading the app, they can actually see their revenue leakage. So it's things like, which is so frustrating, where you want to add something to your trolley. Instead of adding it to your trolley, it asks you, do you want to add to your favorites? And I don't want to add to my favorites. I want to add to my trolley. Mm. Or I'm in my favorites. I want to add something favorites to trolley. It says, instead of adding to my trolley, it'll say, do you want to remove from your favorites? Or, which I had on Sunday when I did my online shopping with Pick and Pay, I wanted 4 milks, 2-liter milks. I then realized I actually want 5. So I press a little plus button, and it doesn't go from 4 to 5. It goes 4 to 6. But I don't want 6 bottles. I want 5 bottles. So you go backwards, forwards, and then eventually you will get to a 5, which is just miracle in itself. So those are the kind of examples that I've sent through to them. And like I said, they get their report from me every week because I need Pick and Pay online shopping to work for me and never mind for everybody else, because otherwise it is me having to go after work to actually to go into the shops.
It defeats the whole purpose.
Yeah, completely. Yeah. And I have always selected substitutes. So if they can't deliver my, let's say, Pick and Pay no-name brand milk, surely they have Douglasdale or Clover. I mean, I don't mind paying extra. I don't mind whatever it is, as long as I get milk. And that's where they are failing dismally from a customer experience, but also customer interface. So their app doesn't work. Never mind they don't have products in stock or they don't deliver. They actually, you can't get the app to do what it's supposed to do.
Stacey, we have to wrap it there due to time constraints, but thank you. I think they're very lucky to have a customer like Stacey who's committed to helping them improve it, Wendy.
Yeah, I just, exactly. I did say that to them. They're feeling quite set upon because they're saying this is not a huge problem with the app. They're saying it seems to be an iPhone problem, but still, I mean, what percentage of their target market have iPhones? I would imagine quite a high percentage.
Yeah.
And they say that, they, you know, they're working on all the issues as you know, dedicatedly as they can. I think I can't speak for the no substitutions or bad substitutions or whatever, but they were saying, you know, there's a fine balance between meeting customer demand and having to waste produce due to shortened shelf life because they work out of dedicated online distribution centers. But they say they do have a new partner in terms of delivery, and they offer amazing tracking and functionality. And when I last spoke to Stacey, she acknowledged that that was a big improvement. I think Pick and Pay's biggest challenge is that they are a late adapter to mobile, to cell phone app.
Uh-huh.
They're now trying to, whereas Chickers have got the advantage of just diving straight
off that platform,
where people are now wanting to, how people are wanting to access online shopping. So I think it's something we must monitor every 6 months, but it's a really interesting topic. And I'm certainly going to continue, now that I've started doing it for this test, I'm going to continue to do it, not all the time, but a lot of the time.
Okay, and keep us posted. Wendy, thanks so much. We'll chat again next week.